Glad to have everybody here. So look forward to having a good morning in God's Word this morning again. So thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to come and freely worship. And we take that for granted, and we shouldn't. And because there's so many people would give so much to be able to do what we do, and they can't. So we need to remember them in our prayers. So let's open with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, you've given it to us. It's our instruction book. And Lord, it tells us about the past, about the present, about the future. Tells us about you. Tells us about us. And Lord, just everything that you felt we needed to know. And Lord, it's written in your word. And we're not to add anything to it or take anything away from it. So Lord, I just pray that as we go through these lessons, I pray, Lord, that again, you'll speak through me. I pray, Father, for your wisdom, for your help, Lord, to speak the word of God in truth, not to be saying things that are false or wrong. And Lord, just in some of these areas, there's speculation. And Lord, and we acknowledge that when we get there. And Lord, it's, nothing's really cut and dry because nobody was there to see it but you. And so, Father, we're glad you gave us the account of what happened. And Lord, and just help me to speak the word in truth. And just open our hearts to the message you have today. Amen. Okay. Not going to back up. We're just going to keep on going. And folks, as we've gone through this, it's a very controversial subject. And I've already stated it. I'll state it again. I'm probably going to be saying some things up here that some of you would disagree with. I've tried to do due diligence to all the way through to follow the Word of God and not to follow man's philosophies. And there's times I have taught man's philosophies because there's a lot of Christians that have bought into this old earth idea. And I think the Bible clearly teaches that that is not true. It is not true, and God makes it pretty clear. And I've systematically tried to go through and say, okay, here's what they say, here's the verses they use to back it up, and now here's what the Bible says, and then try to rightly divide the word of truth and to see what is God trying to say, what is He telling us, you know, and not try to influence it with man's thinking and anything else. And there's just a lot of wrong ideas out there, and I feel it's very important. And so we've taken a lot of time, answering questions. Okay, when did death begin? When did sin begin? When did Satan fall? And we're going to be looking about when did death begin? And these questions are, again, like I say, when we talk, when did death begin? Okay, we're going to be talking about that this morning, all right? But evolutionists and old earth Christians, say that death began millions of years ago. And yet the Bible says no. We're going to look at that this morning. No. The death began after the creation, after Adam sinned. That's when sin came, Anyway, that's when death began. And there wasn't millions of years of dinosaurs dying off and this, that, and the other, and man and everything else, and, all the things that they do. And if they study their Bibles, Christians would study their Bibles, it's hard to come to the other conclusion. God makes it very clear. God states in Exodus, in 6 days, six literal 24-hour days, you're supposed to work 6 days and rest a day. We're not talking about 1,000 years. He didn't say work 6,000 years and rest 1,000 years, because they use a verse, that 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years with God, okay? And they use that verse to say, okay, it could be millions of years, for each day. And I guess I'm reviewing here and stuff that you've already known, but there's actually a method in my madness of what I've been trying to accomplish, and I really hope that through this class, that if there's been some doubts or some questions, and I hope some of this has answered some of it, But that's my goal, it's my hope, and try to teach it in a way that's understandable and believable, you know, as we study the Word of God. So anyway, this morning, that's going to be our main topic today. When did death begin? When did they say it began? When does God say it began? And folks, we need to go with the Word of God. God did not make any mistakes. He knew what He's talking about. He said what He meant, and He meant what He said. And we need to bear these things in mind. And so we're not to add anything to the Word of God. You know, that Bible's clear on that. So we've been studying, we just kind of wrapped up, and we've seen when the old earth people say that death began, okay? They say death began between verse 1 and verse 2 in Genesis. That's what they said, okay? And so millions of years, all this dying and disease and animals eating animals and death and destruction before Adam was even born. All right, we're going to see the Bible clearly teaches that is wrong. It is wrong. False. When does God tell us in the Bible that death began? And folks, this is a key issue. And that's why we hammer on these things. So, first of all, let's start off. And let's don't go there. But we've already studied it. They've said it many times. Okay. In Genesis 1:29, it says that it shows that man is eating herbs and fruit. Man was eating no meat, okay? This was in Genesis 1:29. So there was, for man to eat meat, an animal's got to die. No man was eating meat, and neither was animals. They were all vegetarians to start with, okay? And then in Genesis 1:30, it shows that animals are eating herbs and not other animals. They were vegetarians. Romans 5:12, okay? And we're talking about when did death begin? Romans 5:12 says, and death by sin. Okay? Well, let's go ahead and look at Romans 5. We're supposed to look that one up. So turn to Romans 5:12. I want you to see it from the Word of God, not from me up here just saying it. And you can probably all quote this verse from memory. Romans 5:12. I still haven't got it. I can never turn one page. Okay, and who'd read that for us? Romans 5:12. Delbert?
Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because of all sin.
Now read verse 14, and it names who that one man was.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of man who was to come.
Okay. So right here in verse 12, it says death came by sin, and it came by man, and it came by Adam. Okay? So God is saying here there was no death before Adam sinned. That's what these verses are telling us here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so what we're reading here out of the Word of God says that there's all this stuff about millions of years, death and destruction before verse 2. God's saying it's false. That's what God says. Romans 5:12. Who'd read that for us?
I just read that. You said 1 Corinthians.
I'm okay. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22. John?
For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Could God make that any clearer, folks? Any plainer? You know, since by man came death, and again he names Adam. Through Adam, sin came into the world. It was not Satan's sin, you know. It was not, Satan had, I mean, God, Satan sinned first. I mean, that's a given, okay? But God, where he puts the credit or the blame or which, whatever you want to call it, he puts it on Adam. And we can see that so clear. So there could be no death before man, before Adam sinned. Could be no death. And there was no death, okay? For in Adam all die. No death before Adam. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. We've all got that memorized, okay? So there could be no death before man's sin entered. Death came after and as a result of Adam's sin, not before, not Satan's sin. The Bible discredits all these theories that all these old earth people have. He makes it very, very clear. And its death passes upon all men. Okay? Now, all men, we all inherit the sin nature through our parents. They got it through their parents, and it backs all the way up to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. All the way back. The sin nature has been passed down. And our kids got it from us. Genesis 3:17. And Genesis 3:17 is when God curses the earth because of Adam's sin. The curse is put on the earth after Adam sinned, not before. Okay? And the old earth people, they talk about all these millions of years beforehand. The earth had to be cursed because of all this death, destruction, and all this stuff, and all the dinosaurs dying, and, you know, making oil deposits, all this stuff. Not true. God doesn't need dinosaurs to die to make oil. God could have put oil in the ground just like he put water in the ground. Same deal, you know. A lot of false statements out there. Romans 8:22 tells us that the whole creation groans because of the effects of the fall of Adam. And all of creation is looking forward to the day when it is restored again. And it will be restored again in the future. And again, it's not because of the fall of Satan. So according to the Bible, man brought death into the world. I want to make that crystal clear. So all this other stuff, and you got friends that believe in old earth. They believe in all this stuff. I got friends that do. Me and a buddy of mine, we've gone around and around and around, and he's bullheaded. He's bullheaded. So am I. Okay? Okay. Neither one of us is convinced the other one. He doesn't want to listen to me, you know, preach a sermon to him and go through all this stuff here. He wants to change the subject then when we get into it. But, I mean, his mind's made up, and he's a Christian. He's going to be in heaven. It doesn't determine the fact somebody's going to go to hell because they don't believe that the earth's only 6,000 years old. Okay. So the first death is when God provided skins to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. Here's a question, all right? And an open question, all right? Is there anywhere in the Bible that God tells us that there was death before Adam sinned? Can anybody think of a verse? Anywhere. Anybody. Okay? It's not there. All right. This destroys all the theories of any kind of death before of death between verse 1 and 2, including the gap theory, the day-age theory, and all the other isms that's out there. There's a bunch of them. There's a lot of them. I don't even know the names of them. Can't pronounce it. So, but it all kind of falls into that category. So the question is, when did Satan fall? When did Satan fall? The Bible does not give us an exact account. It doesn't say. We can draw some conclusions from God's word, though. In Genesis 1:31, God says everything was very good when creation was finished. It was very good, okay? So Satan's fall had to happen sometime between the sixth day and Eve's first bite. And that's as good of a description as I can come up with. Because he had definitely had sinned before he tempted Eve to take the bite and Adam, So it happens sometime in there. It doesn't, the Bible is not clear on it. And so I'm not going to speculate on it. We can speculate all day long and come up with all kind of, you know, well, maybe it's like this, maybe it's like that. God doesn't say, okay? There is no indication of how long a time frame this was. So somebody is clearly wrong as far as when death began. Now, here are some of the dating methods that they use to date the age of the earth and the age of animals and, you know, and all kinds of stuff. And they have several different ones. I have some listed here. I think the first one is a carbon 14 method. And they found out, you know, all of these things, they really struggle with their dating methods because they're not accurate. They get so much discrepancy. And yet they got to rely on what they can, the best they can do, because they will not accept God's word for it, okay? There's a potassium-argon theory, dating method, I should say. There is a lead-lead dating method. There is a rubidium. Can some of you chemists tell me how to pronounce that? R-U-B-I-D-I-U-M, rubidium, something like that. Anyway, rubidium strontium method. There's a samarium cobalt method. There is a uranium strontium method. And they have to use all these different tests, and they still cannot get accuracy, but they have to, in fact, there's places where they will use one method on the bone. You got an animal here. A fossil, okay, or whatever. But anyway, there's bone and there's some, you can see where the flesh was. There's even some that's got skin, you know, that's fossilized. But they test this. They have to use one method for the bone and another method for the skin to try to come up with because you can't, if you use one method for both, it's all over the board. And they really struggle with it, but they don't tell you that. They don't tell you that. I'll tell you that, okay? Folks, evolutionists and, yes?
Can I comment on that?
What's that?
Can I comment on that?
Can he comment?
Oh, absolutely. Can you? Yeah, absolutely.
The thing, my understanding, one of the problems, too, that you could point to, like the carbon dating, all of them, they depend on the breakdown of whatever element is they're looking at. Over a period of time, so they look to see how much that element is broke down. Well, nobody's observed 15 million years of carbon breaking down. Mm-hmm. They're assuming it breaks down uniformly over that long period of time. Mm-hmm. Nobody's observed it, so it's not even a scientific method because it's never been observed.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Somebody else. Some of you guys know a lot more about this than I do. I haven't even studied this method. I just seen them named and I just name them off, and I'm not going to take the time to study that stuff because it's, anyway. Anybody else? Thank you, Tracy. You was holding your hand up, but I thought maybe there's something wrong with my sound system or something like that. I didn't know. Yeah, anytime you start waving back there and we'll get you. Folks, there's one set of fossils, you know, and both creationists and evolutionists, they have to look at the same fossils. And these fossils don't come with a tag on the side of them saying, you know, I'm 1,000 years old or 2,000 or whatever years old. They don't say anything like that. So we look at the same fossils, but we come up with different conclusions. And that's true of about a lot of things, you know. Same fossils to look at. We can both look at both. The Christian can look at the creationist can look at the fossil and come up with one conclusion, and the evolutionists look at the same fossil, come up with a totally different conclusion. So there's only one. We all look at the same fossils. Okay. Man has made a big mistake. And in 2 Peter 3:5, the Bible talks about how men become willingly ignorant. Okay, that is a phrase used in the King James Bible. They are willingly ignorant. Okay, and one of the guys that I studied doing these lessons, He says, what that means stupid on purpose. That's a definition of willingly ignorant, okay? That's his definition, so I'll give him credit for that. In fact, his name is Kent Hovind, and I studied him a long time ago. Kent was a great creationist and a lot of wisdom, and he traveled and he debated with people, and I mean, but he had this thing about him that he thought that he could spend his money wiser than the government could. And so he failed to pay his taxes on purpose, okay? Well, finally the law caught up with him and he wound up in a slammer, which is kind of a black mark, you know, for Christianity and stuff like that. He had a political twist. As he's teaching evolution stuff, he always had some digs to, always talking about the government and how things are being run and this, that, and the other. And he just had that streak up his back, you know, that he couldn't leave it alone, I guess. It finally landed him in the slammer. I don't know if he's out now or not. Does anybody know? I know you've mentioned Kent Hovind, but in the past, I know that Royce did. But he wound up, but it was kind of a black mark because this guy was an outstanding Christian and people followed him. And then all of a sudden he winds up in jail because he didn't pay his taxes. That's a poor testimony, folks. And it puts a black mark on Christianity. Because the world can look at that and say, all right, here's this goody-goody two-shoes Christian guy, holier than thou, and he winds up, he didn't pay his taxes, winds up in jail. He's no better than anybody else. Christians are no better than anybody else as a result. And, you know, on and on and on it goes. Okay. So, how old is the earth according to the Bible? All right. Evolutionists claim that the earth is 13.8 billion years ago. That's when the Big Bang took place. And that number has continually been backing up longer and longer and further back. It's probably been revised back, you know, another few billion years since I printed this stuff off. So anyway, now creationists, believe that the earth is around 6,000 years old. And a little over 6,000 years old. And the way that they get it, okay, is you use the genealogies in the Bible, okay? So let's take a look at Matthew 1:17. And here's where one of the main genealogies come from the Bible, and here's where Christians get their ideas. This is just right before the Christmas story. And so who'd read Matthew 1:17 for us? I guess I was looking at Delbert, okay.
So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations.
Okay. So here it talks about, it lists right here, here's the different generations. Now notice that Matthew 1:17 begins with Abraham. Okay, so it doesn't start at the beginning, it begins with Abraham, and it actually goes through, and we could go through, go back to the Old Testament, and add up all the ages of all these guys. You know, like Adam lived over 900 years, and it goes, I mean, it talks about, you know, they lived for so many, well, they were so old, and they begat children, and they begat, and all the begats and stuff like that. But at the end, a lot of time, end of the thing there, it will say that they are so old. And we know that Methuselah is the oldest man that's lived, recorded in the Bible, and he was like 969 years old. All right. I'm not sure, I'm working on memory, that may not be accurate, but it's close, okay? So this goes up to Abraham, so they go back, you know, to Genesis, and they add up all the ages of all these people until you get to Abraham. So you add up that total number of years, okay? And then it talks about, and again, it goes through the different generations, add up all the ages, and then it comes from Abraham to David, and then from David to Christ, And there it ends at Christ. Well, now we just add from Christ to today, you know, which is about around 2,000 years, a little more. And you add all of that up, and that's how they come up with about 6,000 years. Now, one of the beefs that some of the people say, well, some of these people listed in the ages here, they might be talking about somebody's grandpa, you know, and they try to twist this up again. They gotta get the old age worked in there somehow, some way, anyway. And because they say, look, the Bible talks about Christ being the son of David. Okay, well, and they use that and say, okay, well, see, he wasn't his son. You know, Abraham didn't give birth to Christ, you know, and or David, I mean. And anyway, that's one of the things that they use, again, just to try to, but I guess the bottom line is, I'm going to dig myself in a hole here. So in Matthew 1:17, it starts with Abraham, and starts with Abraham in verse 2, okay, and it talks about, from verse 2 to verse 17. Anyway, it starts in verse 2. But then you add up the years to Abraham, as I just said, go back in Genesis, add up the years, plus the years we get from these verses here, plus the years from Christ till now, and it totals about 6,000 years. All right, that's what it totals up to be. Dr. John Morris, I think it was John, there's several Morrises, but he added it all up, and he got approximately 6,137 years for the date that he added that up. Now, he added that all up several years ago, and so we need to add probably 50 years onto that, you know, to come up with an accurate thing, but it'd be around 6,200 years. You know, if you use the Bible's way, and that's why Christians say that the earth's about 6,000 years old, around 6,200 years now, and time's going on, it keeps getting older as we go on. And so that's what God says about it. Okay? That's what God says about it. So we have to compare the intelligence of God to the intelligence of man and see which one is the smartest as far as how old is the earth. Okay? I'm going to stick with God's way, and it's kind of like the clay is telling the potter that the clay is the smartest when they disagree with this and they fight against it. So, I'll stop there. Now, if I've said that, any questions or comments about what I just said? I look around and, yes.
Another problem with these dating methods are that I think consistently they assume that everything has been the same and the half-life has been the same all the way through these millions of years.
Mm-hmm.
And they, one thing they discount that we know about is the flood, mm-hmm. what God says, the flood, and things did a lot of changing there. That's quite an assumption, you know, that the half-life is the same mm-hmm. for billions of years.
Mm-hmm. And Lottie, go ahead.
That's all.
Okay. Yeah, the half-life, you know, it's, I don't understand all that, but they can do that. Again, there's a radon, study that they do. There's all kind of studies, but things are not consistent. Yeah, like John said here, Adam lived over 900 years. You know, we can look around now. You don't find any 900-year-old men running around today. Some of us may look like it, but anyway. So, no, things have changed, and it has not always been the same. And again, you're right, John. Anybody else? Speak up now or forever hold your peace. Okay. I'm going to give you a false scenario here. I'm going to say it's false right up front, okay? But here, again, is a lot of the reasoning. I think it kind of explains some of this reasoning between the old earth and the young earth people. I call them the yeah-buts, okay? Well, God says this, and they say, yeah, but, and go on, you know. Yeah, yeah. God's, yeah, this says this, but yeah, it doesn't mean that. It means this. Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Okay, so here's a couple of yeah, buts. Fictional story, okay? Okay, God has just got done creating he's in the process of creating the earth. And there's two scientists standing there beside God. That is false, okay? But for this little bit, bear with me here, okay? There's two scientists standing there beside God. And anyway, and God has just created this rock, okay? And the scientists come up and say, hey, back up, God. I got my test here. I got my chemicals and things. I'm going to do a test on how old this rock is. And God says, well, that rock is 1 minute old because I just created it. And they say, no, 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 but we stand back, God. We want to run our test on this. They test this rock, and this rock comes out to be 13 million years old, okay? And they say, God, this rock is 13 million years old. We got our test here. We just did it. We just proved that this rock is 13 billion years old. God says, no, it's only 1 minute old, you know? They say, no, no, God, you're lying, you're wrong, we're right, our tests prove it. Here's the documents to show it. It's 13 million years old, you know? And God says, okay, you know? This is what, when God created things, we're gonna be discussing this in the near future. God created things in its maturity, okay? When God created the plants and the animals, immediately he told them, go out, replenish the earth, multiply and fill the earth, okay? God created Adam and Eve in their maturity. He says, go out, they're able to reproduce. The plants, the trees, everything has its seed within itself. There's seed hanging on these things ready to drop to the ground and ready to sprout into new life. He didn't create a seed. He created a mature animal or plant. We'll talk about that. And so that's why these scientists can test this rock with their dating methods and say it's 13 million years old. So that's my little... That is a Jim Gay original. So I say I'm not a creative person. I created that, so... Anyway, for what it's worth. Turn to Romans 1:18. And that's why they get things so wrong, and that's why there's such a discrepancy between the young earth and the old earth people. Romans 1:18. And again, God takes his account of creation very seriously. And who'd read that for us? Pastor?
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who own the truth in unrighteousness.
Okay. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. I guess I meant to say... Okay, I wrote down the wrong. Read verse 20 for us, Pastor. That's the one I meant. I got it down wrong.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Folks, what that verse means, it means all we need to do is open our eyes and see the divine or the intelligent design that is all around us and realize that there is a God, and God says they are without excuse because it is so evident. When you study, when you open your eyes and look and see what we can see, without excuse. The sun rises every morning right on time. We can send the universe is in such a precise order. okay? Everything is so exact and precise that we human beings on planet Earth, we could send a spacecraft out and calculate exactly where that planet is going to be at a certain time and land a satellite on Pluto or the moon or whatever. They're landed it on an asteroid out there. It's trying to, and it's so precise. They could calculate exactly where that thing's going to be, and they can. I mean, it is that precise and exact. And they're sending satellites out there to go to, you know, like an asteroid. They're trying to figure out something that is so primitive that they can understand how the Earth began, how it all started with the Big Bang. And they're trying to learn, and the evidence from trying to study the chemicals and stuff and, you know, all this other stuff, it is so precise that we can do that. We can, you know, everything is so exact and so precise. And we can see that. We know that. I mean, how would that happen from a big explosion, the Big Bang, blow things apart in any kind of order at all? And anyway, God says they are without excuse, and God, and that's part of the thing where God is revealed. It says some in the book of John somewhere about that God has enlightened every person that comes into the world. That's one of the ways God has given us enlightenment, if we could just look around and say, for this thing to be this orderly, this precise, there has got to be divine, intelligent design. It's got to be. It can't be man-made. It can't come from an explosion. And yet God, for people that have never heard the gospel, the Bible, I believe, teaches that they, even though they've never heard, they'll go to hell, okay? Because they have never put their trust in Jesus Christ. Now, this is something controversial here. I believe that if there's a person, and I've heard of people in their remotest African thing, and for some reason they just believe that all their, I'm getting way off my notes here, and this, I'm in trouble now. But anyway, they their fetishes and all the things that they worship and stuff, they just, and I heard a man testify to that at a Answers in Genesis, let's see, Ken Ham, is that Answers in Genesis? Okay, it was an Answers in Genesis seminar they had in Wichita, and I went to that, and they had a missionary come who was from remotest in jungles in Africa, and they were worshiping all these sun gods and all these different things, and he just, in his heart, he just felt, this is not right. There's something ain't right about it. And anyway, and God sent a missionary to their village. This guy was saved, and he was now on the staff at Answers in Genesis being part of it, and he testified that he just knew there's some God, something better, something different than what we're doing. What we're doing is wrong. And I think the bottom line is, if there is a person out there that's never, you know, that God is going to see to them that they are going to get the gospel. If God knows that they're willing to get saved, he'll see to it that they get saved. But I need to get back to my notes, folks. But anyway, but I mean, that was an enlightening to me. I'd heard that before, but I'd never seen it in action. That night, I saw it in real action. And I think God will, whoever's to be saved, God's going to see that they're going to get saved. And again, they have got to make a choice. He was presented with the gospel. Now, folks, he had to make the choice. We have got to make the choice. That is our responsibility, to choose or reject. He chose. And any questions or comments about what I just said? We're about out of time. That's not, when I get off of my notes, Keith?
Okay. Scientists say that things go from order to chaos, but then they try to say evolution is going from chaos to order.
Yes.
So they observe both things.
Yeah.
And it can only go one way.
Yeah.
So if we got as much order as we do now, and we're going from order to chaos, we've had to have more order in the past.
So right, Keith. So right. Anybody else? And again, I shouldn't have. When I get off and start talking, I get messed up. I need to stick to my notes. Okay. Turn to Psalm 81. Okay, Psalm 81, and read verses 81 verses 11 and 12. And who'd read that for us? Pastor Ehrensberger.
But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels.
Okay. Powerful words, okay? When you start rejecting the Word of God, and you do it over and over and over, God is long-suffering, but if you do it long enough, it says God gave them up, okay? Turn to Psalm 106, verse 13 through 15. Psalm 106. And again, that's where, folks, you get into trouble when you balk, you do not accept the Word of God and you put man's thinking above it, okay? These are stern warnings, folks. We need to accept what God says, okay? Psalm 106, verses 13 through 15. And who'd read that for us? Is that Delbert?
106, 13 through 15?
Yeah, 13 through 15.
They sued for God his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tested God in the desert, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul.
He gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. Folks, you need to be careful what you're asking for, because God may give it to you, and it may not be good for you. And if we persist and we fight, we dig in our heels and we fight, there's repercussions when you buck the Word of God, go against it. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. These are warnings. We need to heed the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. And who'd read that? Joyce, I see that hand.
9-12. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Folks, that is a powerful, powerful verse, okay? You keep rebelling, you keep rejecting, and God sends them strong delusion so that they will remain deceived. Folks, we do not want to remain in our rebellion, in our wicked rebellion against God and against His Word. Because, folks, when God sends you strong delusion, you have got a problem. You have got a major problem. And it looks like, according to that, it's unreconcilable. It seems like somewhere out there, there's a line. When you cross that line, bingo. God gave them up to a reprobate mind. He gives them up for various sundry things. He gave them a request, you know, but sent leanness to their souls. And then it says he will send a strong delusion. You'll be deceived. Our time is up. So, I better, rather than ask for questions, I think we need to close. So, let's pray. Dear Father, help us to understand your word. Help us, Lord, to, if our thinking does not align with your thinking, Lord, help us to change our thinking. Because if our thinking does not align with you, then our thinking is wrong. It needs to be corrected. And Lord, our desire should be to have Lord, just to walk in obedience to you and to walk as close to you as we can. And Father, help us to do that. And so, Lord, as we look at these truths, as we're coming from the Bible about creation and evolution, and there's so much false stuff going on, and so many people have been deceived by this thing of creation and evolution. And Christians, Lord, the devil's tripped up a lot of Christians that believe in this stuff. Lord, if they study their Bibles in depth, it's not true. It's not real. And they need to change their thinking. And Lord, I just pray that you'll work in our hearts in this group and help us, Lord, if there's people that have got some erroneous thinking, or if I'm saying something wrong, Lord, show us and help us, Lord, to get it right, because, Lord, we want to get it right. So thank you, Father, for your word, and thank you for the studies that we can and take a look at these things. So I just pray now that you'll be with us in the service to follow. Lord, speak through Pastor Ernstberger to us. Lord, prick our hearts. Reveal things, sin in our lives, Lord, that need to be changed. And help us, Lord, to make those changes and not rebel and stick to our guns. So just thank you, Father, for this time, and pray that you'll just use us, Lord, as your instruments here on earth while we're waiting for the end to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.